This morning, we're finishing up God's marching orders for godly wives and mothers. Our theme this morning is that godly moms are in partnership with God. And as partners with God, they love their children with love the children can feel. Now, you can just back off this and look at how it can flow right beyond your specific physical children. And it can flow out into a lifetime of nurturing and discipling God's children. Remember what the Lord says. He says that women who never have children can have more children than women who have children. Because when you have children, it limits your life. Just like marriage is a limiter. Marriage keeps you from being the Apostle Paul. You can't hike the Taurus Mountains, okay? And you can't get beaten and stoned and thrown to every prison because you got to take care of your wife and children and provide for them. So marriage is a limiter and having children is a limiter because you have to focus on those that God gave you. And those who either are not married or do not have children can have more spiritual children, God's children, than those who have physical children because they don't have to provide the nurturing years it takes to raise a family. Now, of course, the majority of all saints throughout all the ages were called to both be married and to have children. But there are some that are called, like Paul, they're called to singleness for the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you're called to be married and called to have a family or called to be single or called to have no children. These principles apply because either you focus them first on those that are your physical children and beyond that to the wider church, or you don't even have to focus them on your physical children because you don't have any, and you can immediately go to showing this kind of love in discipling. So the message of how Paul showed his love, he showed it as an unmarried. Well, at the moment, I mean, there's a lot of dispute on whether Paul was ever married. It's very hard to be what he was in the Sanhedrin as a witness without being married. So, you know, whether his wife died or whatever happened, left him for Christ's sake, who knows what happened to him. But Paul certainly knew how to do this as a single person. And so wherever you are in life, it's possible. But moms, never forget today you have a mission from God. You are in partnership with him. He asks you to allow him to strengthen you on the inside, to strengthen your heart, to teach you to express love like the Apostle Paul had, love that others can feel. Not just know, but feel. And I hope today that every mom and every wife will embrace that calling and live God's priority for your life. Dorothy Patterson, who was one of the co-authors of the monumental work a decade ago called Recovering Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. It was a great effort to, in our egalitarian society, show that God has gender-specific roles and callings. But she wrote this one little line. She said, "A mother builds something far more magnificent than any cathedral in the dwelling place for an immortal soul that she crafts within her. No professional pursuit so uniquely combines the most menial tasks with the most meaningful opportunities." I might add, with the highest of rewards. Because 1 Timothy 2:15 says that mothers who nurture their children are saved from second place to the men who get to be up in front in the church. The mothers are not second because they are the ones that nurture that next generation. Well, make sure your loved ones and your family feel your love. And to help them receive and be touched by your love, we can try to use the key ingredients that we saw in Paul's ministry to Timothy. Remember last week I told you about how Paul discipled Timothy? And this week I showed you how he discipled the saints in Thessalonica. Those ingredients we can use to make small choices that help us communicate the affirming, encouraging love. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this list in the next 24 minutes of small choices that we can make to give away our love. Number one, godly moms partnering with God raise their children and love their children in a way that can be felt. Number one, when they prepare special words for them. The first way that we see Paul communicating love to Timothy was Paul wrote letters to him where he prepared, remember last week, special words. He said, Timothy, you're a true son. You got a calling on your life, Timothy. Don't give up. You're really, really gifted. And you're going to be rewarded someday. You see the special words? Number one, if you want to communicate love that can be felt, prepare special words for those that you love. Like Paul, use tender and encouraging words. He used them to help his son in the faith, Timothy. We use them to speak to our children. And like Paul, godly moms don't belittle their children for their weaknesses and tears. We should always remember hugs aren't enough. They're important, but they're not enough. We need to tell our children how we feel about them. Those who are left to fill in the blanks will feel worthless and insecure, and only confusion can come from silence. We need to realize we're not that encouraging. It's not that we have a critical spirit, so we just don't say positive things. Our loved ones can't figure it out unless we say it. And we need to learn to say it like Paul. Grace-energized mothers make an effort to highlight with encouraging words ways to affirm positive, biblical, godly responses that children have. So number one, prepare encouraging words. Think of ways that you can communicate in an encouraging way like the Apostle Paul, like a nursing mother. Love by speaking. Number two, godly moms partnering with God raise their children and express love in a way that can be felt. When secondly, not only do they prepare encouraging words, but they attach high value to those children. Now, a lot of people, they say, well, no one ever treated me this way. You ought to see how my parents raised me. You ought to be thankful for what you get. That is so cultural and so unbiblical. It doesn't matter if you grew up in 40 generations of stiffness. It doesn't matter if you grew up in, why, we never touched, we never talked, we never hugged. That's just the way we are, you know. No, that's wrong. That's like saying, you know, I'm an adulterer, that's just the way I am. No, you say God's grace can change that, forgive you, change you. We need to realize that it doesn't matter how you were raised. If you never had high value attached to you, then break the mold and start it new. Remember what we saw in Paul. He told Timothy he had a treasure entrusted to him, that he was gifted, that God was going to use him. Grace-energized mothers tell their children the qualities they admire in them. They tell them. That means they see them, they think about it, and they communicate it. And by the way, it's not just grace-energized moms. Paul was not a mother. He wasn't a father either, as far as we know. He was just a discipler. But he used the metaphor of the nursing mom and the loving dad to say we all need to do it. Single, married, children, childless. We need to say to our children that we attach high value to them. So secondly, not only prepare encouraging words, but also attach high value. I mean, if nothing else, you can say that they're an immortal soul, that they are going to live endlessly, that they are going to give an account to God for their life. I mean, there's so many ways we can attach this high value to them.